Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Temple. You've often heard the story when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the Temple, but this is when Mary was brought into the Temple by her parents, Joachim and Anne, and she was presented to the Lord. And I just want to read to you this commentary in Magnificat magazine. They summarize it very well. The Byzantine liturgy proclaims today is the prelude to God's munificence and the announcement of salvation. In the temple of God, the Virgin is seen openly foretelling to all the coming of Christ. But people would have just seen her humanly as just another child being brought to be presented in the temple, as was the law. The most pure temple of the Savior, his most precious bridal chamber, the Virgin, sacred treasury of God's glory, enters today into the house of the Lord, bringing with her the grace of the Divine Spirit, because she was conceived immaculate. By God's design, she had no stain of sin. Wherefore, the angels of God are singing, "Behold the heavenly tabernacle." Mary, the heavenly tabernacle. Wherefore, let us cry out to her with all our strength, "Joy to you, fulfillment of the Creator's plan." At that moment, when the young girl Mary was presented in the glorious temple, everything that humans built was already diminished by the praise in her heart. At that moment, when that young girl, Mary, was presented in the glorious temple, everything that humans built was already diminished by the praise in her heart because it was without sin. We can build the most glorious buildings, brothers and sisters, and they don't even begin to be compared to the offering of a child that was immaculate without stain of sin from the moment of her conception. She was the glory held up to honor the Lord, to honor the Creator. We celebrate that feast today. It's a day perhaps to take a look at yourself and to say, when I come before the Lord in the temple, I cannot be as Mary, but I can be without stain of sin because I have repented, because I have asked forgiveness. Have I done that? At least I can take a few moments before Mass begins to say, "Lord, is there anything, any way I've offended you in the last day or 2 days or the last week? Is there any way I've offended you?" Think about that for a moment. Ask his forgiveness. If it's venial sin, simply ask his forgiveness and be restored. Many churches, there's confession before Masses. Perhaps you just need to stand up right where you are and go to confession, so that when you come before the Lord, your soul welcomes him. There's no darkness in it. Ask the Blessed Mother to help you. First reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, and then 4 and 5. I, John, looked, and there was the Lamb. Remember now, we're into the book of Revelation a lot because this precedes the beginning of the new church year, which will begin this coming Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent. And so these last days you're reading a lot from the book of Revelation because it's the time where the church takes a look at the life that is to come, to complete the vision, to get your sight set. And then from the first Sunday of Advent, we go back to looking at ourselves and certainly looking at the Savior that God is giving us. So we have a cycle. It rotates every year. Take advantage of the grace of that, the grace to begin again. This is also the time to ask the Lord, what is it in my life that displeases you? What is it in my life that dims your presence in my life? What is it in my life that blots out your presence? We all need to repent. Every human being needs to repent all the time. Repent. Ask God to give you grace to minimize that sin, to minimize that fault, so that at least you're doing it less and less if it's not eliminated. That's good. That's progress. Pay attention to that. So take a look at yourself. What is it? Perhaps there's a stronghold in my life that I haven't yet let go of. Ask God for grace. Help you to face it. Because all that's going to happen is the forgiveness of God, and that God's presence becomes stronger in you, more vibrant in you. And you know you're not alone. You know you're cared for. That's what God wants to give you. But we got to get rid of the sin so that he can. I, John, looked, and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound from heaven like the sound of rushing water or a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. They were singing what seemed to be a new hymn before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this hymn except the 144,000 who had been ransomed from the earth. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been ransomed as the first fruits of the human race for God and the Lamb. On their lips, no deceit has been found. They are unblemished. It's the beauty of the life that is to come. Psalm 24, Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. Read that passage, read that section of the psalm over and over again. Lord, I long to see your face. Lord, help me to follow you more closely, for I long to see you face to face. What a moment that will be. Glory beyond all glory, beauty beyond all beauty. Fulfillment beyond all fulfillment. Ponder it and ask God for help, that the temple of your soul may become more and more cleansed, more and more that God's beauty can shine through it. Who can ascend to the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. The verse before the gospel says, stay awake, for you do not know when the Son of Man will come. Brothers and sisters, we really have to do that. Stay awake, be alert, be watchful at the door of your heart and your mind and your spirit. When evil things press against you, wanting to gain admittance into your soul, into your life, say no, walk away. You can do it. You don't have to give in to the desires of the flesh. Walk away. God will give you grace. Blessed Mother prays for you. You have a mother who prays for you. Receive the grace that's available. You have free will, and you can reject it. But if you take it, you're going to know a peace and a joy that no one can take from you. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. And he said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth. So it didn't cost them anything. They made donations. But they had lots to give away. It didn't affect them, didn't cause them a sacrifice. But she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. See, we can't see that, can we? We can't see from the outside what's really going on in someone's heart, what the real intentions are. And here it is, you have a wealthy people, and you have someone who makes, or a number of people who make major offerings. And of course, from a human perspective, people are saying, oh my goodness, look at the amount of money he gave. We do that, don't we? Sometimes when we're counting checks, or if we're in a position where we see what offerings people have made, wow, what a donation they made. Wow, they must be wonderful people. And then we have this poor widow who gave out of her necessity. She deprived herself of something in order to give. Which one do you think God approves of and loves and cherishes most? Brothers and sisters, it's the same for us. It was the same for Mary in the temple. People came in making all kinds of offerings, etc., etc. And here was this poor couple coming in with a child who was going to be the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. On the outside, nobody could see that. Nobody probably paid attention to them. Nobody may have even noticed them. Perhaps, but perhaps not. Because we get so caught up with money. We get so caught up with affluence, with luxury, with riches. And we think, if I have these external things, I'm going to be eternally happy. No, you're not. Do you store up for the kingdom of God or not? Do you give? Even when it hurts, can you give to somebody who perhaps is in even greater need than you are? Really urge you, brothers and sisters, don't just make large donations or great gifts with a lot of fanfare and publicity and trumpet blasts, so to speak. Your reward, you've already had your reward. That's what Jesus says. They've already had their reward. But he looks to the quiet, simple, humble person willing to sacrifice something that another may be blessed. Blessed Mother knew so much about that, how much she must have served. We certainly see it in the wedding feast at Cana. She comes to Jesus, just like she brings all our needs to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is really time to take a look at yourself, especially as we get caught up in all the Christmas festivities to come. Do the right thing for the right reason. Don't give in to just wanting what you want. Look around to the needs of everyone and decide, most of all, what you want to give away. God bless you. I've been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.